text is taken from John chapter 20, namely the verses 6 through 9. These words: "Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead." So far the text. After the sermon, we'll sing hymn 33, 1 through 4. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has risen. Sadly, that was not the response of the women and the disciples when they discovered the empty tomb. The disciples had not understood the purpose of Christ's suffering and death. Neither had they understood that Christ would be raised. Yet Christ had told them about these things. As they approached Jerusalem, he had told his disciples exactly what would happen. We read it in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." The Lord Jesus had laid it out very clearly. And we even read in the next verse there, in verse 22, "And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you.'" They had heard, but they had not understood. And when Christ died on the cross, the disciples were sad and confused. They didn't know what was going on. They did not reckon with Christ's words about the resurrection. But that would soon change, because Christ himself would lead his disciples to believe in the resurrection. By the end of the first day, they would believe it. And during the next 40 days, Christ would explain the scriptures so that they would clearly understand from the scriptures that he had to rise. And this process started in the early hours of the day of the resurrection, when Peter and John, whom this passage calls the disciple whom Jesus loved, when Peter and John saw the empty tomb. Later, John would write in his first letter that he was conveying everything that he had seen and heard. He says it like this in 1 John 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you." Well, the text tells us what they saw. They went in the tomb and saw things that the church of all times and places needs to hear. And today we're going to witness the public profession of faith by Trevor and Emily. They're going to stand up and say that they believe this gospel. They believe that Jesus Christ arose from the dead and that he is their Savior. So this morning's text is about the empty tomb, and it's about going from seeing to believing. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early in the morning. She wasn't the only one. There were also others with her. They went with spices to anoint Jesus' body, but when they came to the tomb, they noticed that the stone had been rolled away. And when they entered, as one of the Gospels tells us, they did not see the body of Jesus anywhere. We're told that Mary Magdalene then ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, that's John, the author of this gospel, and she exclaimed to them her consternation. She said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Now, about whom was Mary speaking when she said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb"? Who is they? Grave robbers? Perhaps grave robbers had ransacked the grave in the hope of finding something valuable and had dumped the body. Vandals? Perhaps vandals had desecrated the grave to bring shame on Jesus. The Romans? Perhaps the Romans had moved the body of Jesus to another location for whatever reason. Jewish authorities? Perhaps the Jewish authorities had moved Jesus' body to prevent the tomb from becoming a shrine. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus? Perhaps they had buried Jesus somewhere else, because we know that they buried Jesus hastily after his death. Maybe they found a more suitable place. We cannot say for sure what Mary was thinking, but at any rate, she was very upset. Her world was thrown upside down. We read that Peter and John then immediately headed for the tomb. They literally ran. John outran Peter. He arrived there first, but John did not enter the tomb. He stood back at a respectful distance. He did bend over and peer into the tomb. He could see the strips of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. When Peter reached the tomb, he entered immediately, Peter being a leader among the disciples. And once he was inside, then John also entered. Now, what exactly did they see? In today's text, seeing is very important. And the Bible tells us exactly in great detail what they saw, because we need to hear what they saw. The body of Jesus was gone. It was as Mary had said. But then we're told that the strips of linen in which Jesus' body had been wrapped were lying there. And this called for some reflection. If grave robbers or vandals had made off with the body, it's very unlikely that they would have taken the time to unwrap the body. They would have been in a hurry. They would have just carried the body out. If Roman authorities or Jewish authorities had reburied the body elsewhere, they wouldn't have bothered to unwrap the body. Why would they? If Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had reburied the body elsewhere, they certainly wouldn't have unwrapped the body. And not only that, the cloth which had been around Jesus' head, so we read very precisely in verse 7, was not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. That called for reflection. We're told three details here. We're told that it was not lying with the linen cloths, it was folded up, and it was in a place by itself. Three details. And all of this is meant to make us reflect on what those disciples saw. It was meant to make them reflect on what they saw. The fact that that headcloth was lying all by itself indicated that there was an orderliness in the tomb. Something very special had gone on. All these details were indications of what had actually happened in the tomb. And these disciples were supposed to see that, and they were supposed to reflect on that. No one had tampered with the tomb, but Christ had left the tomb. Christ no longer needed those linen cloths in which he had been wrapped. Those cloths were for the dead, not for the living. Jesus Christ was alive. He had arisen. That neatly folded headcloth lying at a different place most likely indicates that the Lord Jesus had moved around in the tomb after his resurrection and before he had left the tomb. Christ himself had folded the headcloth and had put it in a certain spot. Everything was very neat and orderly in that tomb. And that's what those disciples saw. They saw the linen cloths. They saw the headcloth. The last thing Christ's disciples had seen after he had died was that he was wrapped in the shroud of death, the linen cloths. And the first thing Christ's followers could see in the empty tomb was those linen cloths lying there and that headcloth. In other words, they had to get beyond thinking about Christ as dead. They had to start thinking about Christ as being alive. And all this evidence was intended to make Peter and John, as well as Mary, consider that they should think differently about what had happened. It was meant to indicate that Mary Magdalene was wrong when she had said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb." No one had taken the Lord out of the tomb. The Lord had left the tomb. He had arisen. And that's why it's so important that Peter and John entered the tomb. Christ also guided this. Because Christ led those disciples to the tomb, and they saw then that it was an open tomb. Christ led the disciples into the tomb, and all the evidence inside pointed to it being an abandoned tomb. That's what they had to see, and that's what they had to reflect on. This had to remain etched in their minds, and this had to be inscripturated for us in the Bible so that we too could see it, as it were, through their eyes. It was meant to remind them of the words that Christ had spoken about suffering and dying and rising again. The tangible evidence of the resurrection was staring Peter and John right in the face. And in this way, Christ was setting his disciples on the road of faith regarding the resurrection. It started early on the day of his resurrection when those disciples entered the tomb and saw what they saw, and it made them think. We're told very specifically about John in verse 8 that when he entered, he saw and believed. He believed what? Some say he believed what Mary Magdalene had said, that Jesus was gone. Well, that's what they could see. The tomb was empty. But there's much more going on here than just believing what Mary Magdalene had said. That view does not adequately take into account what it says in verse 9, because the text goes on by saying, "For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead." They had to see it with their eyes. They had to see that this was an empty tomb, and not just an empty tomb ransacked by people, but an empty tomb vacated by the one who had been in the tomb. He had risen. Look at the orderliness of the tomb. Look at the linen cloths lying there. Look at the headcloth lying there. All this description in our text tells us that when it says that John saw and believed, it was more than just believing what Mary Magdalene had said. It was coming to faith on the basis of what he saw when he saw the linen cloths and the headcloth lying there. He saw and believed. The point is that John needed to see the condition of the tomb to start believing that Jesus had risen from the dead. And once he saw that, he started to believe. That's why the theme of the sermon is the empty tomb, from seeing to believing. John saw and he believed. Actually, you can say that verse 8 can also be translated like this. He saw and started to believe. He started to believe. He had not believed earlier because he did not understand the testimony of the Old Testament scripture about Christ's resurrection. Neither had he understood the teaching of Christ about the resurrection. The Lord Jesus had told them so clearly, we're going to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer and die, I'm going to be killed, but 3 days later I'm going to rise from the dead. It had all been laid out. They'd heard it, but they hadn't understood it, and they hadn't believed it. But now it started to come together for them as they saw what they saw in the tomb. And this was the beginning of John's faith regarding the resurrection. He still had a long way to go because he didn't understand it yet from the Old Testament scriptures. But he was on the road to believing. And in this way, the Lord Jesus was preparing his disciples for that spectacular meeting later on in the day. He would have them all together in one room. We read it. All 11 of them were there. Not Judas. All 11 were there. And the Lord Jesus appeared to them. But he prepared them to be together. These disciples saw what they saw. We read in the Gospels that Christ appeared to Mary Magdalene. And then she went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. We read in the Gospels that Christ appeared to Peter, who reported this to the other disciples. We read about Christ appearing to the two travelers on the road to Emmaus, those people that walked with Christ on the road and didn't realize it was Christ, but then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And they went to the 11 and before the men really had a chance to tell their story. The other said, it's true, the Lord has risen. The day of the resurrection was a day of activity. The Lord Jesus was preparing all of his disciples, these 11, to be together in that room later in the day. And then he appeared to them all together. And he started to go through the scriptures with them. We read it like this in Luke chapter 24. We read in verse 44, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And so the Lord Jesus went through the scriptures with them and showed them from the scriptures that he came to suffer for our sins and to rise as the victor over sin, Satan, and death. Our text of this morning is about John going from seeing to believing. And this gospel has come to us. This word of scripture has come to us. In fact, we have the entire word. We have the whole Bible, which speaks to us about Jesus Christ, the Savior. We don't see the open tomb. We don't see the linen cloths lying there. We don't see the headcloth lying there. But we do hear about it. And we hear about the orderliness of the tomb. We hear about the resurrected Christ from the Word. And the message today is, Christ has risen. And that message has gone out throughout the ages. It has reverberated throughout the ages. And God's people of all times and places have rejoiced in it. Those whom God wants to reach, those whom God wants to save, he always leads to the Word. And he always leads them through the Word, because that's how we come to faith. We don't see, but we hear. And we may hear what they saw. And their going from seeing to believing is conveyed to us so that we might believe because of what we hear. Later, exactly a week later, when Thomas was also present, then the Lord Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And that's how it is for us. We don't see, but we hear and we believe. And therefore, we search the scriptures so that we may see the Christ from the scriptures. When we have questions, like those disciples had questions, we're supposed to go to the Word. We're supposed to look there for answers. And sometimes there can be big questions in life, but we are directed to the Word of God, and we are to see the meaning and purpose of our existence in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. In fact, the Gospel of John tells us about the life and ministry of our Savior in great detail, and John tells us why we are told these things right at the end of chapter 20, where he says in verse 31, "These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And then I remind you of what I said at the beginning about what John writes in his first letter, when he says, "We proclaim what we have seen and heard." And he says, "So that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Our fellowship with God is by grace through faith. And we're called to believe that. This morning, we're going to witness the public profession of faith by Trevor and Emily. We have the good habit in this congregation to have public profession of faith on Easter Sunday, because Easter Sunday is the Sunday that speaks to us about our purpose, our meaning. The purpose and meaning of our existence is in the resurrected Christ. If Christ had not risen, so the Bible says, we would still be in our sins. We would still be held captive by sin. We would still be held captive by death. But the Christian is set free from sin, is set free from death, because Jesus Christ arose from the dead. And in him we live. His life means life for us. He arose, and we arose with him. And one day we will rise from the grave. Like Christ arose, death does not hold the believer captive. Well, public profession of faith is about confessing that we have that hope, that we have that perspective, that Jesus Christ is the answer to our every quest, that our restless heart has found rest in Jesus Christ. That's where we find the answers to our questions and the solutions to our struggles. You can have everything you want in this life, but if you don't have Jesus Christ in faith, what do you have? The Bible says, when you have Jesus Christ, when he is your Savior, when you acknowledge him in faith, you have the hope of eternal life, and you have direction and purpose and meaning for your life. Public profession of faith is not the end of the road, but it is a step on the road of our faith journey. We must continue to grow spiritually, just as those early disciples had to grow spiritually as the Lord explained the scriptures to them. Likewise, we must grow spiritually as we constantly turn to the scriptures and see our Savior in all his beauty. And that gospel gives us joy. You hear the joy of the disciples on the day of the resurrection when it finally dawned on them that Jesus Christ had arisen. You hear their excitement when they said, "It is true, the Lord has risen. Death and the grave could not hold Christ captive." And that may be our joy too. Our Savior lives. He has risen. And because he arose, death and the grave will also not hold believers captive. In him, in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, we have salvation, the hope of eternal life. And let all God's people say, Amen.